And welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A new study out of Michigan State University on our farmland finds that the continuous growth of a single crop causes an increase in the amount of crop pests. To talk about the study and what can be done to reverse this process, I'm joined by MSU professor of entomology, Dr. Doug Landis. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you.
Now, it seems that we're stuck with our industrial farming process. What happens to soil when it's continuously in use? How depleted does it become?
Well, Mike, what our study is showing is that as farmers grow more and more field crops or vegetables or fruit in a particular portion of the county where they live, and that they tend to reduce the amount of non-crop habitat, things like fence rows or woodlots or wetlands. And the effect that this has on insect pests is that it makes it a more favorable environment for insect pests and causes farmers, therefore, to need to spray more pesticides to control those pests over time.
I mean, is it clear why this environment is so beneficial to these crop pests?
Yeah, you know, entomologists have looked at this question for really many decades, and what we do know is that when we plant large areas of single crops or maybe just a few crops, that we provide all the resources that are needed for crop pests, but what we may not be doing is providing the right resources for the natural enemies of those crop pests. So virtually all pests are attacked by predators or parasites. Things like lady beetles eat aphids, or there are wasps that attack caterpillars in corn and soybean. And these natural enemies need these non-crop habitats, providing them places to overwinter and sources of alternate food. And when we remove those from the landscape, we tend to make the environment very favorable for pests, but not so favorable for these natural enemies that could really be helping farmers save money.
So what kind of strategies do you propose to change the balance and reduce the number, the quantity, that is, of crop pests?
Well, it really depends on the condition of the landscape in which a farmer or individual farm is existing. If you farm in an area that has a good mix of crop types, maybe some woods and wetlands and other non-crop areas already in the habitat, maybe the strategy is to just to not remove more of those non-crop habitats. Alternatively, if you're in an area that is intensely farmed, you know, think of corn and soybeans for mile and mile and on end, maybe we need to add new crops into that type of landscape, crops that would add diversity and provide some habitat for these natural enemies. And I work for the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, as part of my duties at MSU, and we're investigating the potential for bioenergy crops to add that type of diversity back into our agricultural landscapes.
Well, what about insecticides? Is that not an effective way to control pests, and is there any reason why it can't work indefinitely?
Well, insecticides are certainly very effective, and the reason that farmers use them is that they're providing them a benefit and are cost-effective. Some of the problems are that that does come at an economic cost to farmers. Some pesticides can be harmful to human health and to the environment, and so they need to be used carefully, and they're carefully regulated. What our study shows is that there's this large unrecognized benefit of what natural enemies are doing, and when we unwittingly change the landscape in ways that are to their detriment, we're losing that free service that we could be taking advantage of, and we're having to replace it with something like an insecticide that we do have to pay for.
Although even the strategies you propose, I mean, they certainly sound much friendlier to the environment, but they would likely, there'd be a cost involved to the farmers, would there not?
Not necessarily. In fact, we think that in many areas, adding bioenergy crops, particularly perennial grassland type crops like switchgrass or mixed prairie grasses, could really add diversity to the farm income and maybe actually allow farmers to farm certain areas of their land that maybe they're not farming right now. For example, if you have sloping areas or areas that are prone to erosion, sometimes these are placed in a set aside. We think that you might be able to grow a perennial bioenergy crop on those lands, gain some economic return from that, plus have the benefit of adding diversity to the overall landscape.
In the structure of continuously using our land to grow a single type of crop, is it sustainable, or could there be a point that the soil simply isn't able to continue growing plants?
Well, that's a good point. And we don't tend to grow just one crop. So I think, to be fair, most farmers are in some sort of a rotation. But we depend heavily on corn and soybeans and, to a lesser extent, wheat. And crops deplete the soil of certain types of nutrients. A crop like corn has particular needs. And if you overuse an individual field for that purpose, you can deplete its fertility. I think more importantly, growing certain annual crops that require annual tillage can lead to soil erosion, that can lead to loss of nutrients and pesticides in the waterways. And so maintaining a diversity of crops on the landscape and thinking strategically about where to place those crops and where to buffer those crops from waterways is very important.
And when it comes to the Midwest region in Michigan, soybeans then and corn, are these the by far the most popular crops that are being grown?
Corn and soybeans make up the largest portion of our landscape here in Michigan, even to a greater extent when you get into states like Iowa and Illinois, they're even more dependent on those two crops, yes.
And this rotation of crops on a piece of land, then are you saying that the rotation then ultimately looks like soybeans and then corn and then back and forth? Is that what we're looking at?
Exactly. Most farmers who grow field crops would be growing corn and soybean typically in an annual rotation, and they may be able to throw in wheat in that rotation too, to have a three-year rotation.
Organic farmers say that our farming system ultimately is detrimental to our food quality. And is that in fact the case? Is food grown in this way on overused land significantly less nutritious?
That's a really tough question, and there's been a lot of debate, both scientific and otherwise. I really don't know the answer to that question, but it's certainly a topic that people feel passionately about on both sides.
And finally, when you compare Midwestern farmland and that of here that we have in Michigan, how does it compare to those of other regions in the country?
Well, the Midwest is one of the most productive landscapes in the world, as a matter of fact. Our deep prairie soils in parts of Iowa and Illinois and into southern Michigan are some of the most fertile soils in the world. So we have very productive lands, and I think our goal is to think about ways of maintaining that productivity, enhancing the income for farmers, and if we can, add to our energy independence by growing some of our bioenergy right here.
Dr. Doug Landis, professor of entomology at Michigan State University. Thank you for joining me, Doug.
It's been my pleasure.